listener exclusive.
G'day, it's Matty Ray here from Triple M Brekkie. And on the podcast, if you missed on Wednesday morning, our weekly catch-up with the Motley Fool lead investor, Scott Phillips. We cover all things money with Scott. And the good news for most of us is from next week, the start of a new financial year, pledged tax cuts from the federal government will come into effect, as will supposed energy bill relief. As to whether or not this energy bill relief and tax cuts will ease the cost of living pressures that many of us are facing, as well as drive down the inflation problem, Scott gives his honest assessment.
So here's the thing. Bringing energy prices down will impact reported inflation. So that is absolutely true. $300 per household is the benefit. So that will make a huge difference for a lot of people, and that will help A, pay the bills, B, it'll help bring reported inflation down. Here's the bad news, and this is what the pollies will either not tell you or pretend isn't true. The tax cuts will add to inflation. So yes. When we think we're getting cost of living relief, and this is why we've got to think this really all the way through, mate, is people saying, I'm struggling out there. You know what I'd love? I'd love a tax cut. Because if I had more money in my pocket, I could afford to pay those bills.
Yes.
100% true. Except the RBA is going to say, well, actually, it's hard for you to pay the bills because you've got too much inflation. We're raising rates to bring inflation down. If the government gives you more money, you're going to go and spend most of that. Not maybe you personally, but all of us together will spend most of that. Guess what happens? That puts upward pressure on prices, and the RBA says, well, I guess we've got to put rates up. So what they're really doing, and the ANZ did some numbers here, they reckon these tax cuts are worth about 0.5% in rate cuts foregone. In other words, the RBA could have given us more back if those rate cuts weren't going through, the tax cuts weren't going through. So we've got to be really careful about the way we think about this. As I said, tempting to kind of go, it's my money, I want it back, I pay too much tax. Those things can absolutely be true, but if it's going to push inflation up, and it almost certainly will, now it won't necessarily go up, but it'll be higher than it would have been otherwise. In other words, it could have been coming down, but it won't be because of those tax cuts. It adds more demand to the economy, means rate cuts are further away, means inflation is going to be worse. By the way, monthly inflation due out today, likely to go up, according to the consensus estimates, from 3.6% last month to 3.8% this month. So it's going the wrong way, and yet those tax cuts are going to fan those flames, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's going to put some pressure on the federal government as we are in the middle of another sitting week, should we say, for the couple last days. So let's move over to the energy price thing now, Scott. And well, I suppose I'll try and pair this together if I can, notably, what we heard last week was the federal opposition's pledge to build 7 nuclear reactors if they win power at the next election. Now, what is the assessment on this pledge from the major economists that you're in contact with, Scott, as well as the impact and response from the business community? Because, you know, we've been told that the energy market in Australia is going one way, purely renewables, but now this is a certain change, say, if the next federal election sees another change of power.
So, mate, this is a really fractious conversation. The first thing I'll say is there's going to be people yelling at the radio already who are on one side or the other of this, either ideologically, renewables or nuclear, or politically, Labor or LNP, right? And so I'm just going to tell you what I think, and your listeners can yell at the radio and whatever they want to do. The reality is, so we've got two challenges. We've got power prices that are too high.
Yes.
We've also got emissions that are too high. Mm. And the challenge are twofold here. Firstly, if you're going to build nuclear, the lead time is probably 20, 25 years. Now, some people say we do it as little as 8. It's not going to happen.
No.
You've got to change laws. You've got to change public opinion. You've got to find the sites. You've got to do the planning. All that kind of stuff's going to happen. The fifth reactor could probably be built in 8 years, in 2048, but right now it's going to take a very, very long time. So what does that mean? Three things. Firstly, it means that we don't know the cost, and that still remains a massive question. Secondly, we don't know the time frame, as I said. And then the problem with that, mate, is that what do we do in the meantime?
No, exactly.
The Eraring Power Station in New South Wales is being extended for another 3 years because we run the risk of blackouts. Coal-fired generation is at the end of its life. Not as a technology necessarily. You could build more, but no one is. So there's not enough renewables to take over. Coal hasn't got a long enough life, and nuclear won't be ready yet.
Exactly.
So what you're kind of doing is saying we will emit more carbon. We will probably end up with brownouts over that duration. And then we'll build something that's kind of, I'll be really honest, I think it's largely ideological rather than anything else.
That's right,
From the government, from the opposition. Now, that said, I'm not an energy expert, right?
Yeah.
I suspect the next generation of power, when we build out for 2060 or 2070, I think there's a very good chance nuclear is the option. Because if you've got 25 years to plan this stuff, and you can do it cheaply, cleanly, with super long, 80-plus year lives, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And particularly if you don't have to worry about, you know, is the wind blowing, is the sun shining, how much storage have we got, but we know that we can just generate it. That sounds like a really, really good deal. But it's, when you're starting from literally zero right now and saying in 2024, we've got power issues, we've got massive carbon issues, let's take some indeterminate amount of time to replace the grid. That feels like, if we'd done this 20 years ago, mate, it would have probably been less of an issue. It's still controversial, but we could have had the power available in 5 or 10 years from now. Would have been a great time to replace coal. Starting now, and by the way, you asked about experts and economists, I don't know a single business group or a single economist who thinks that going nuclear today instead of renewables today is the right approach. That's the short answer. There is no one who, other than the, you know, the kind of diehards, who are saying this is the best economic solution or the best environmental solution from today.
Yes.
At some future point, maybe great. Is it a more reliable technology in terms of power generation than renewables right now? Yes, absolutely. In 10 years' time, 20 years' time, nuclear might be better, renewables might be better.
Exactly,
but right now, it's a very, very hard one to make that case.
That's right, and it seems the only side of the economic or environmental fence seems to be the think tanks linked to the federal opposition.
Uh-huh.
But like you say, it is something that we're in a bit of strife for at the moment. Coal's aging and phasing out. Renewables, there just aren't enough of them in the system to have enough reliable energy so that we don't have brownouts, and nuclear is going to be very costly and take probably too long to build than what the federal opposition seems to be outlining it can be the case. But like you were saying, in terms of where we're at not right now, nuclear could be an option to at least have in the system, but perhaps too environmentally unfriendly to base a whole electric grid system on it. So it is an interesting analysis you provide there, particularly the one about what business and economists are seeing about the proposal, and that's something that may be a bit inconvenient to the federal opposition right now, but they have their challenges just like the federal government does right now. Interesting insights from you as always, Scott. I love catching up with you, but we're going to have a break from each other, I understand.
Yes, mate, I'm going bush. So I'm heading up. I'm going to Broome eventually, but we're doing a massive road trip for 3.5 weeks. So yeah, come Saturday, I'm off. Heading up through your way, and then up and away.
That's right.
Up through Alice Springs and up to Catherine and across to Broome. So it should be a great time.
Yeah, Broome is lovely. At the same time, it is right up the other end of where I'm from in WA. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
But going bush, I love that, mate. It's actually refreshing to hear. Not enough people, I think, are doing that. And right now is a very good time to do it when it's not too hot.
And not too wet. That's
exactly.
A combination. You know, I'm in the Kimberley in summer, mate. It'd be a hell of an experience, but a very, very different one to what hopefully we're going to have in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to live in a cyclone and experience it once, one time?
Knock yourself out, exactly.
That's it. All right, enjoy your few weeks off. We'll catch you in late July. Thank you, Scott Phillips.
Look forward to it. Thanks, buddy.
A listener exclusive.